This is at Planet Mosh, and we're here with Paul from the Jokers.
Hello.
What have you been up to today?
Well, we were the first band on the second stage, and since we've played, I've been doing we've been doing interviews since, so been busy. Yeah.
All day.
Yes. Did you manage to get to the show?
Not in the first few ones, yes. No. But I did hear some very good things about it.
Thank you.
People were determined to head over there to have a look, and they were very happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were a little bit worried at first, thinking, oh, I hope there's people in. But what I found is people check out what's going on, and if they like it, they stay and more people come in. So it very, very quickly filled up, which we were very happy with.
It's very good having both the two stages literally doors opposite, because people can wander in and out. And they're just finding their mates, and they happen to upon something, they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, if they don't like something, they'll move to the other stage. So, yeah, we were very happy. Great response. Yeah.
What would you say was your musical influences?
Well, we're not trying to do anything different. We're an old school 70s rock type of band. So I would say the Zeppelin, Free, The Who, probably more of the old, honest, pure classic rock is more of our influence.
What would you say keeps things fresh for you? Keeps you wanting to do this?
Good shows, live audience, trying to progress as a band, trying to build a momentum with just progressing, really. You know, we've gone from first album, self-financed, to the second album, which we struggled with, the fact, again, money, on the strength of the second album, we got signed worldwide to SPV Records. We're now contracted to do the next album in 12 months. So the fact that things are progressing gives you confidence. So, yeah, we're very happy with that.
Have you started planning out the next album?
Yeah, we've got a producer out in San Francisco that was actually, we toured with Y&T, and their engineer was Tom Size, who's worked with Aerosmith, Europe, Journey, Y&T, and he loves our band. He wants to work on the second album, which we'd already started. So we're going to go out probably late summer next year and start recording with him in San Francisco.
Exciting.
Yes. Nice weather. Yeah.
Are you saying that you don't like the weather here at the moment?
Actually, I thought it was a beautiful day today, and we've just come off a tour in Europe. We spent 4 weeks. We were in Spain, and we were literally in Marbella, beautiful sunshine, and travelled 5 hours into the mountains. So we went from beautiful 24 degrees to literally 0 degrees and snow within 5 hours in the same country, into the mountains, believe it or not. So I'm quite happy with being back home.
It's a bit more neutral weather here then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful sunshine today, fresh, yeah.
What are the bands that you're looking forward to seeing play today?
Well, there's been quite a few bands on that I would have liked to have seen. I've missed a few of them. Skindred, I was friends with. They've been on, I think they were on yesterday. I would have liked to have seen them. I've seen The Answer a few times, so I'll probably check them out again later. Airborne, I've never seen. I want to see them. Michael Munro, I've seen him being interviewed, so I would like to check him out as well. Yeah, I'm looking forward after these interviews to see what's going on.
What for you makes a good gig? I mean, I know an audience can look at it and think, yeah, it's been amazing, but what for you when you're performing makes you go?
I think for us as a band, hoping that we've connected to the people, you can sense when you've got people smiling and you've really got into them. So that connection, a spiritual connection, is very important to us.
How do you... coming onto a stage each time, you have to sort of try and get that immediately with the crowd. How do you manage that when you first come on stage?
I think it's just the strength of the songs and the impact. And Wayne, obviously being the front man, is probably the first connection to the audience. Rowena, your name is this? Yeah, she was just asking. Say that question again, because Wayne will elaborate on that.
How do you, when you're coming onto stage, how do you sort of get the connection with the crowd?
You've got to front it. You've got to sort of like just look at them. You can't be fazed by it and realise you're doing a performance, I suppose. You can't really connect one to one, so you just got to see them as a big group and realize, you know, that that's what you're there to do. So I suppose everyone's different in the way they approach going on stage. I mean, we had kind of like a group, sort of like an American team, sort
yeah,
of like,
I always,
we're going
on
out.
On gigs, I think they're important. I drag the guys together and they're all like, oh, what's he doing? Especially the bass player. But I always like to get almost like a football team in the changing room and try to get that communal morale, you know, as a team. So we say, let's get focused, let's all think of the same thing, let's try and, you know, transmit that vibe to the people, you know.
Focus what we're actually focus here to
together,
do.
Focus together, yeah. It's no good one person being focused. We're a team.
How does the songwriting go for your album? Is it a mutual collaboration?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people come in with ideas, and we just throw them around, spin them out, add our bits, say that works, that doesn't work. I mean, it's pretty obvious when something's working and when something isn't. It's just never obvious whether you should leave it at that point or carry on slogging. So we have a few on the go at the same time, don't we? If one of them gets a bit sticky, jump to the next one. Let's leave that one for now, jump this. So in that way, you're moving all the time as well. So it's good.
Do you tend to write quite a lot more than you need necessarily for the album, so you've got more choice?
No, it's usually exactly the amount.
A lot of bands say we have 60 tracks, are going to pick 10 of 12 of them. Yeah. But I think we sort of know what is going to work, and we've got to the point where we can actually think we need one of these type of tracks, so we're going to focus on writing one of them. If that makes it, whether it's fast or ballad, whatever the mood it might be, you know.
You just want your album to be balanced, so we can't have a load of fast ones, can't have a load of slow ones. So you just got to, you know, sometimes we go, okay, we've got a lot of these, but what we really need is a nice crowd pleaser or something like that. So we set to work on that. That's the next thing.
Yeah, I think that's one of our strengths, that we're not the sort of band that are on the same channel constantly. Even people said today with the live show, we personally think it gets monotonous if it's the same channel. So it's like a roller coaster, you know, goes up, goes down, bring the mood down, and then bang into a, you know, kicking track.
Do you remember what your first impressions were when you first met each other?
No.
Well, my cousin plays in the band, but he's a nutter. He's a nutcase.
I remember Dan, because Dan was only 6 months ago, so I can speak on him. And I thought, he looks like 10 years old and a bit scared, but he plays like a demon, so he's all right by us.
Your first impression,
it was.
Timid little guy, and then he's a killer.
He's
an animal. He's the only rock and roll guy out of all of us.
Dan,
vomiting over there somewhere.
threw his phone down the street before.
Has he?
He's
fell in love with some girl out in Spain. And she's not calling him back, and I think she come back from work at like 8 the following day.
So how wrong was I?
Never judge a book by its cover. Exactly. I knew he was an animal underneath.
Maybe he was just behaving instead.
I don't know. It's some people's features just belay what they're actually like, I think. You go, oh, what a sweet person. Then they're stabbing you between the blades or getting drunk and stealing cars or something. I don't know. So, don't judge a book by cover. I mean, you look nice.
The quiet ones.
You don't know what I've got stored in that handbag. I'd watch it.
Exactly.
It's always the quiet one.
Someone stole it. Dan stole it. I'm kidding. So that's what I've learned from having him. You don't know.
So what, have you ever had any really embarrassing moments on stage?
Loads. I have. I fell over on the last load of shows, completely tripped over. I fell off the back of a stage. I just disappeared. I fell off the back of a stage. Don't know about Wayne.
Oh, I slipped on beer, you know, you're drunk, you fell a bit. So it was good in front of as many people as possible as well. Don't do it in a small place. Do it in your biggest audience you've ever had.
I used to do this big strike on the guitar, and the guitar was switched off.
Biggest air guitar solo.
You know what I mean? Like a Pete Townsend.
Right in the middle of the stage, standing on something.
Yeah, all right. Check this.
Check this, guys.
And it didn't happen.
Ukulele.
We're Spinal Tap.
It depends what you do with it, you know, whether it's embarrassing. Embarrassment's mainly meant to crush your spirit, I think, but if you just make light of it and people just go, it's going to happen, you're going to go out with your skirt tucked in your knickers.
Saying that, when it's happened to me, I just laugh and think, and everyone laughs at me and with me, you know. that's all you can do.
Do you remember your very first gig?
I think as a kid I played, when I was about 12, I played in front of mods. It was rubbish. Yeah.
That's changed a bit.
Yeah.
At school.
And I think we're a punk band playing in front of mods, so.
Yeah. It's not going to go well, either.
No, no.
Sorry. I've still got the image of you flying off stage.
Oh no, everyone was in bulk because I disappeared. There was a drop, 5 foot drop off the back of the stage, and
it was just a curtain, wasn't it? And you leaned.
Yeah, I leaned against the curtain and disappeared.
It wasn't
yeah.
A mega drop as well.
But like, I still hear it, but no idea where it is.
Actually, I heard a story about Thin Lizzy in the early days when they had the big hit Whiskey in a Jar, and they were a three piece. And during the show, the guitar player jumped off the back of the stage and left the band during the show, and they never seen him after that. And it's quite famous now. That I seen that documentary on Thin Lizzy. He ran off from the stage and went, screw this, and literally left the band in the middle of the show.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing, falling off there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cooler, that, maybe.
So if you had one piece of advice... For the very new bands that are just starting out, what would that be?
I've got advice. Listen to yourself. If you listen to lots of people, you end up completely confused. I've done it. It doesn't work. So at the day that we went, right, we either stop this or we start doing what we believe in from the bottom of our heart, was the day we started to make progress. So I personally think follow your heart and listen to your own intuition.
Got to have courage as well.
Faith and courage,
I think courage is a hugely underplayed thing in this. It's easy to go along with a lot of sounds that you know are going to work and a lot of bands who are selling things and go, well, if we sound like them, we're going to do it. But you've got to have courage to stand out there and go, actually, I'm just going to do it my way, whether you like it or not. That's what I would say.